Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of James, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Over the past 10 plus years, how many prayers do you think have been uttered by those three young women who were held hostage in what is now being called the House of Horrors in Cleveland by their kidnappers? How many prayers do you think through the years have been offered by their parents and other family members wondering what happened to their young girls? It's very interesting that as we listen to the various interviews that are taking place of family members or neighbors, those in the community who knew them, as we even listen to people speaking in the media, representatives in the media, how often the word prayer comes up in these types of situations. We kind of go through life thinking we're so in control and so in charge and self-sufficient. But suddenly when we realize what sin can do to us and how delicate our lives are, all of a sudden humanity starts thinking about spiritual matters a little more. And we hear the words like prayer brought up with a little greater frequency. I must admit for myself that whenever the subject of prayer comes up, I feel at least a tinge, if not more, of guilt, because I just don't utilize this gift as often as I should. I have a tendency sometimes to think about prayer as not that big of a deal and to kind of minimize what a blessing it is. I get tempted to think of prayer sort of like a fire extinguisher. It's kind of like there if you really need it when something's bad, but other than that, life goes on. There's a line in a hymn that we sang yesterday that always strikes me in that hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, by the Irish poet Joseph Scriven. And there's a line in that hymn that always strikes me and just goes down into my mind. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. As in other places in the Bible, James, in our reading for today, must encourage his readers, us included, must encourage his readers to utilize this blessed gift from God, to make use of it in our Christian lives. Because he has to encourage us to use it because we all tend to underestimate its value and the potential efficacy, the effectiveness that our prayers can have. And we tend to adapt to how the world looks at these types of things and to think of them as, to look at them with some scrutiny and maybe skepticism and some disdain even. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the Word of God to consider prayer as a wonderful gift from heaven's perspective. First of all, to understand it as a costly gift, as a very expensive gift. Not to you. It doesn't cost you a thing. In fact, it's easier to you than taking a breath of air. If you think about a prayer just in your mind and heart, that can go up faster than taking a full breath of air. It takes less energy to pray. So it doesn't cost you a thing. It's about as easy as it can get for you and me. But the access to the ear of God the Father was very costly. Because of our sins and wickedness, none of our thoughts and prayers could have made it to the ear of God. But because of the work of His Holy Son coming into this world on your behalf and mine, making payment for our sins on the cross, by that very, very expensive and costly death of the Son of God Himself, the curtain of between us and God has now been torn. And we now have direct access to the ear of God. St. Paul says, having been justified by faith through the work of Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. It was cheap to us. It doesn't cost you a thing, but to God. In the economy of God's ledger system, this was the highest priced gift that there could be. It cost him the life of his son. And so prayer is also a gift that God would have us understand comes along with faith in Christ. The Bible is very clear that it is only the prayers that come from the hearts of those who cling to Christ by faith for their hope of heaven. It is only those prayers that make it to the ear of God. And the only opening through which those prayers can ascend and make it to the ear of the Father is through the work of his Son. That's why Jesus says to us, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. That's why in the book of Hebrews, to those possessing Christ, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence because of the high priest that we have that has now made this access between sinners like us and this holy God in the heavens above. So God would have us also understand prayer as what you might call a joyful obligation. A joyful obligation. Something that he calls upon us to do and commands us to do for our good. Prayer isn't for God, it's for us. And it's a joyful obligation, just like worshiping, just like hearing the word of God, just like receiving the Lord's Supper. It's kind of like a parent who commands their child to come in and get to eat their favorite dessert. It's a joyful command that's given to that child. God gives us the joyful command to come to him with our prayers and to bring our petitions before him. And when we do that, we're told in Scripture that all three persons of the Trinity are involved. This is an amazing thing. Our prayers ascend to God the Father, the one who receives them. It is the work of the Son that has created this access to God. It's also the Son who stands before the Father as our advocate. And the Holy Spirit is the one who generates in us the prayer and takes it and shapes it in a way that is going to fit the will of God and carries it up to heaven. It's interesting when St. Peter came and dropped before Jesus on the beach and he prayed to him the prayer, get away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. He made a request to Christ. But God took and shaped that prayer for his good and for his benefit, knowing that Christ had to be nearer to him than ever. The Holy Spirit takes our prayers and our requests that we send up to God, and he reshapes them and reforms them so that by the time they reach the ear of God through Christ, they are going to accomplish what is best for us and what is in keeping with God's gracious will for us and his eternal plans for us. So God would not have us underestimate the potential force and efficacy of these prayers. Listen to what James says again. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And if you're standing before God only through faith in Christ, you are a righteous man and woman. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. He brings up the story of Elijah, who by his prayer actually caused it to stop raining on the land for 3.5 years. Think of that. He altered the climate for 3.5 years by his prayer. And then by his second prayer in that regard, caused it to rain once again. We think about Abraham pleading with God on behalf of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Scripture gives us the sense that he actually altered God's plans as to how many it would take to protect that city. And so God invites you and me to use this gift and to come boldly before him with our requests. Dr. Luther used to use the image of a king that has a huge treasury behind him. And he's invited the people of his kingdom to come and make requests and ask things of him. And the humble peasants come in and they ask, maybe once a month they go in and ask for something, and they'll just ask for a tiny little bit. And here the king sits wishing they'd come in every day, wishing that he could give them even more, but he will answer their requests. God invites you to come boldly and to ask big things of him, to draw huge drafts on his grace, So may God stir up our hearts in faith to utilize this precious gift. And someday we may find out in heaven that these humble little prayers that we may be thought were so insignificant actually changed the course of history from heaven's perspective. Amen. Please rise and join with me. Take with you your hymn book and turn to page 169. 169. And join with me there in the prayer for Wednesday morning. Unto you, O Heavenly Father, I direct my first thoughts and lift up my heart in prayer, that I may live and walk in you alone. Be my fortress this day, as you have been my protection through this night, for which I thank you with my whole heart. Watch this day also over my soul and my members. May I also turn to you in true repentance. Cleanse me from all wickedness and uncleanness. May I walk in your fear in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and trusting in his precious merits, I give myself to you altogether with all that you have bestowed upon me. Bless me in him with whatever pleases you. Grant me wisdom and strength to perform the duties of the calling in which you have placed me. May your holy angels accompany me and mine in all our ways, and help us to walk together in love in the narrow path which leads to your heaven. To this end, help us by your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.